A Savior Who Is Christ the Lord, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
This child's soft infant flesh will one day be the sacrifice that pays for our sins.
And for any size year-end donation, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the Confession of Peter. You can make a year-end online gift today at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's not often that you hear in Scripture. You hear about husbands and wives. You hear about brothers and sisters and parents and children. But you don't hear about friends very often, except in the case of kind of the famous friendship of the Old Testament, David and Jonathan. It's a friendship that is in some ways rather star-crossed because, of course, just as soon as they become fast friends that you hear about in 1 Samuel 18, well, it's Jonathan's father who is king at the time, and David is Jonathan's successor, although Saul's successor. Saul gets pretty jealous, and it makes it a difficult friendship, but it is one that remains between David and Jonathan. We're going to be studying about it with Pastor Tom Baker as we teach a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 20th of November. I invite your questions or your comments for the remainder of this hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can also send us a tweet at issuesetc. Now, some have tried to make something out of David and Jonathan that it isn't. Now, this is not something you would necessarily talk about in the Sunday school lesson with the kids. Of course, there are things that are appropriate to children, but some have speculated there's more to friendship here between David and Jonathan. We'll see whether the text supports anything like that in the course of our conversation with Pastor Tom Baker. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. And if you're getting ready, you should also be putting a marker there at 1 Samuel 20 as well. We'll be going through that entire chapter talking about this friendship. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is a great resource. It comes from a regular guest here on Issues Etc. That guest is Pastor Jonathan Fisk. He's written the book Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. And what it does is examine the many false ways that man tries to find a way to God. And then it responds to them with the only true way that man has to God through Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's called Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible, and it's available from Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. You can also browse before you buy. You'll find the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible, at our website, issuesetc.org. You can browse before you buy right there, and we'll have Pastor Jonathan Fisk on the phone with us tomorrow on the program. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's Director of Development for the Concordia Mission Society, and he is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
This is something that I would not expect that you would recommend we discuss with the children, but we do need to get it out of the way before we go on and talk about what the story really is. And that is, some people have speculated that David and Jonathan were more than friends, that they were, in fact, gay lovers or something to that effect. Not something you mentioned with the kids, but does the text support this in any way whatsoever?
Well, it depends who you're listening to. If you're listening to someone who doesn't believe the Bible, then the text does support it. But if you're listening to a Bible believer, then the text does not support it. I actually have a quote from somebody that I got off the internet. When Saul says to Jonathan, "You son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you have chosen David, the son of Jesse, to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness?" The person then says, many gay men have experienced dinner conversations that sounded very similar to this one. Their father becomes furious because he is embarrassing the mother with their gay lifestyle. So they definitely look at this as a homosexual relationship. The only problem with that is Scripture interprets Scripture. So if they're going to say that these verses are a homosexual relationship because they kissed one another and wept with one another, then they're also going to have to say that Esau and Jacob had a homosexual relationship, because in Genesis 33, verse 4, but Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. It's the same language. Not only that, but Joseph, under Pharaoh in Egypt, would have had a homosexual relationship with Benjamin and all his brothers, because according to Genesis 45, then Joseph fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. So the same language is used. I mean, you'd have to say that all the French are homosexuals, because rather than shake hands, many of them kiss one another when they greet with one another. Well, we know that's not true. In other words, this was a Near Eastern style of greeting and great friendship to kiss one on the neck. It doesn't say they kissed on the lips, but they kissed on the neck. And I tell you, if this wasn't a family show, we could go into a lot more detail here about how some people try and make this a homosexual relationship, when in reality, it's none of the kind.
Okay, with that set out of the way, I guess the first thing we ought to note here is that the story of David and Jonathan begins right where we left off last time, after the story of David and Goliath. David has just met with a great military success. And it says from that, and then Saul kind of tracks him down, and then we look at chapter 18, verse 1, the first couple verses. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of his robe that was put on him and gave it to David and his armor, and even his sword and his bow and his belt. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him, so that Saul set him over men of war, and this was good in the sight of the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. What's happening here, Tom?
What's really happening here is, rather than some kind of illicit relationship, this shows the tremendous faith of Jonathan. By giving these gifts to David, he is therefore forfeiting his normal right to the throne, being the son of Saul. And therefore, Jonathan is saying to David that this is the will of God, that you be the king. And in that sense, therefore, Jonathan is showing great self-sacrificial love towards David.
And then that's the amazing thing that I think should strike us. The first is, Jonathan really should, from this point on, especially with David's rising success, he should be jealous of David, shouldn't he?
By nature, we all have original sin, and one would think that would be true. But Saul is the one who ends up green with envy, red with rage, whereas Jonathan, for some reason, the Holy Spirit has moved Jonathan to love David as though he's his own brother, and therefore he not only shares help to David, but he is also protecting him against Saul, as we're going to soon see.
Now, we're going to jump ahead, but I do want you to summarize how it comes to be that Saul begins to resent David, even to the point of kind of a self-destructive resentment against David. How would you summarize the intervening chapters there?
Well, what happens after chapter 5 is the jealousy begins right away, because when the warriors are returning from battle, the women sing to one another, Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s. Now, they give Saul pride of place by mentioning him first. They really don't want to offend the king. But Saul takes offense at their words, and he really feels threatened by their support for David. And verse 9 says, "And Saul eyed David from that time forth." And what that really means there, he kept a watchful eye over David. He was checking him out because he was beginning to realize that what Samuel had said to him, because of Saul's disobedience, he would lose the kingdom and another would take his place. Saul is beginning to realize that other is David.
Well, here's a big mystery here, just since we're stepping there into the latter part of chapter 18. First, Saul is angry and eyes David, and then it says in verse 10, the next day a harmful spirit from God rests upon Saul, and he kind of becomes a crazy man in his own house.
Yes, God sends different spirits. We're going to see later on that he sends a spirit of prophecy to Saul, where he again begins prophesying. But in this case, this is a fearful spirit, a harmful spirit from God. And because Saul has no longer any faith in the promises of God, this really disturbs him. And so we have harmful spirits around us all the time. Sometimes they're within us, sometimes the devil, sometimes the flesh, sometimes our sin. But none of these can hurt us because of Jesus Christ. But because Saul is now more interested in his self-interest rather than to the interests of God, and we've seen that already in his disobedience in regard to sacrifices and in getting rid of the enemy, Saul now has really nothing to lean upon when this fearful spirit hits him.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson about David and Jonathan on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 20th. Tom is Director of Development for the Concordia Mission Society, and he's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You can find a link to Law and Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, Saul's, I mentioned before, palace intrigue. He begins to plot against David in a very interesting way. Oddly enough, David will later plot against Uriah in exactly the same way. He lets David marry his daughter, and he puts him in charge of the army, hoping, of course, that the Philistines will take care of David for him. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Clint Poppe, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
Does a Christian have a different reason for voting than a non-Christian? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Vote for the Other Guy. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also details E.D. Wadsworth's journey from evangelical mysticism to the present tense gospel of the Reformation. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition. A comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300: Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California; Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana; Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas; Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota; St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois; Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota; Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota; Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas; St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana; St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa; and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on David and Jonathan in 1 Samuel 18, and we're working toward 1 Samuel chapter 20. I remember in my days, this is years ago, as a full-time parish pastor, how frustrating it was to deal with Sunday school curriculum. Not dealing with the Sunday school teachers or the kids, but the curriculum. It was frustrating. I know they were trying their best, but lesson after lesson, like a story like this, David and Jonathan, it would be a story about friendship and not about Jesus. It would be a story about brotherly love and not about the love that Jesus has demonstrated, shown to us, and given to us in his death and resurrection. They told the story, but they left Jesus out. And I can tell you, as a parish pastor, that's very frustrating. It's very hard when you got a Sunday school curriculum that leaves Jesus out to somehow get him back in. That's why Growing in Christ, the Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House, is different. It doesn't leave Jesus out of the story. It makes sure that he is in there, because he is in there each and every time, as Pastor Tom Baker will demonstrate in due course in our conversation. Find out more about Growing in Christ, the Sunday school curriculum that is Christ-centered and cross-focused, from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for a free sample. 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. All right, Tom, things get very, very bad between Saul and David, but then Saul lets David marry his daughter, which almost further seals his place in line for the throne, but he has an ulterior motive. What is it?
Verse 21 is clear. Let me give her to him, that she may be a snare for him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. And then Saul also says in verse 25, to tell David, the king desires no bride price except something from the Philistines, that he may be avenged of the king's enemies. And the very next verse tells us Saul's motivation. Now Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines, because he had to go to war against them.
So he's really trying to set this up. I mean, he's trying to put David in the most dangerous possible position that he can.
Well, what happens, of course, 28, not only does Michael fall in love with David, but the big thing is, and here comes Jesus again, Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and look at his attitude. Saul was even more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. This is what happens when you take Jesus out of the picture in trusting him, because you'll still find him, but then you will have nothing but fear, because Jesus doesn't think the way sinful people do.
Now, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves too much here and stay with the David and Jonathan thing.
Yes.
But it is interesting, and I'm sure you noticed this, Tom, that when David is king later in his life, he will pull kind of the same stunt with Uriah, the
Bathsheba's husband,
appearing to kind of honor him and want him to do well, but in fact hoping that he dies in battle.
And he does die in battle, because he's at the forefront. And when the signal comes to retreat, everybody retreats, except they forgot to tell Uriah about it. So he keeps going and is struck down by arrows from the enemy.
I mean, I can't imagine that connection gets lost should get lost on us, that there is a point later in David's life when he'll be kind of like Saul.
Oh, in fact, the theme I have for this is Saul is the reversal of Saul. What I mean by that, I'm referring to the Saul of the New Testament and the Saul of the Old. And so I say this, Saul of the Old Testament went from being Saul to committing suicide, whereas Saul in the New Testament went from Saul to Paul. What a difference, and the whole difference is dependent not upon their obedience, because Paul says even his best works are as filthy rags in the New Testament, but because of their trust on the part of Paul in the New Testament and mistrust on the part of Saul of the Old Testament.
Now, just to bring us up to chapter 20, eventually it's not just animosity that Saul has for David, but David becomes a hunted man under Saul, even though he's still, at least at this point, kind of the general of his army.
Yes. Yes. In fact, Saul attempts to kill David twice himself with a spear, while David, the one time, is playing a musical instrument for him to help calm him, as he was wont to do, and Saul aims the spear and, of course, misses David because God is in charge here. And then later on, he even throws a spear at his son Jonathan. He is so angry with him because he has sided with David.
In chapter 20, Jonathan, being the friend to David that he is, comes to David to warn him. Everybody's warning David, you better get out of here. Micah's warning him. Everybody's saying, Saul's trying to kill you. Tell us about this encounter between Jonathan and David.
Well, what they're going to do is Jonathan is going to find out really what the attitude of Saul is. He's going to talk about dealing kindly with his servant. And if Saul doesn't respond properly, then Jonathan is going to warn David. And the way they do that, Jonathan goes into a field where David is hiding, and he has his boy servant with him. And if he shoots an arrow before the boy, not far from the boy, then Saul is okay. But if he shoots it beyond the boy, it's a signal to David that Saul is still trying to kill him. And of course, he has to shoot the arrow away from the boy because Saul is still in wrath.
Now, there is this is where we get more kind of mentions of God in the story. I'm looking at verse 12. Jonathan says to David, "The Lord, the God of Israel, be witness." He says, "When I've sounded out my father by this time tomorrow or on the third day, behold, if all is well and he's disposed well toward you, then I'll send and disclose it to you." That seems what binds these two men together, because he calls God as a witness, is more than just kind of earthly friendship.
In fact, this is probably the main point of the Sunday school lesson, Todd. Well said. Both recognize that even in their victories, everything was due to the God of Israel. We find Jonathan saying that in 1 Samuel 14:12, when he says to his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has delivered the enemy into the hand of Israel." And then David says that also, that the Lord has delivered his enemy into his hand. So with those two kinds of things, that's what really binds the two together, is their trust in God. And this is very important for the children. There are many a time when the children will think God is going in one direction, and all of a sudden things change direction. And the words of Jonathan need to be underscored in verse 22. "Go, for the Lord has sent you away." Can you imagine the love Jonathan has for David? And by the way, I hadn't realized this until I had done the lesson. There's only one other time that David and Jonathan will meet, for a very short time in chapter 23, 16 to 18, and that's the last time David sees Jonathan, because Jonathan is one of Saul's sons killed in the same battle where Saul also dies.
I mean, this is truly remarkable if we look up at verse Well, about 13 in chapter 20, he's anticipating as yet what might happen if Saul is still against David. And he says, look, if I'm going to tell you, and if it doesn't turn out good, I may never see you again. I'm going to send you away. And then he says, may the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. If I am still alive, show me the steadfast love of the Lord, that I may not die, and do not cut off your steadfast love from my house forever, when the Lord cuts off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. And they even made a covenant, may the Lord take vengeance on David's enemies. I mean, he's saying to him, look, I know the Lord's with you. Don't kill me when you become king.
Yes. And in fact, it's not part of the lesson, but David does keep that covenant and even takes care of a relative of Jonathan.
Now, by the way things were done in those days, in you know, with kings and their successors and palace coups and things like that, David would not have been wise to leave any of Saul's family, much less his son, alive if he wanted to reign securely.
Well, he does have the general of Saul that he has a bit of a problem with for a while, but he finally comes around. I think one of the most powerful passages in this story is 2 Samuel chapter 1, where David laments for both Saul and Jonathan. And it's a beautiful picture of that, verses 19 through 25. And this is before David is even anointed king of Judah.
Let's take another break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Pastor Tom Baker for another 10 minutes, teaching a Sunday school lesson on David and Jonathan. If you got questions or comments on this Tuesday afternoon, I invite you to give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. You can send us your email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @issuesetc. Pastor Tom Baker is Director of Development for the Concordia Mission Society, and he's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. When we come back, he's mentioned several places here where we find Jesus in the story. We'll go back and make sure we can put a pin down on every single one of them in the course of the story of David and Jonathan, where we find the Lord, Jesus, in the story. And then, what is the basic law and gospel of this story as we teach this Sunday school lesson? All that with Pastor Tom Baker right after this. You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
A Savior who is Christ the Lord, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
This child's soft infant flesh will one day be the sacrifice that pays for our sins.
And for any size year-end donation, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the Confession of Peter. You can make a year-end online gift today at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
The essence of God's Word. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
The hymn Now the Silence, playing right now at Lutheran Public Radio. Sacred music for the world. It's a 24-hour sacred music station from the people who bring you Issues, etc. LutheranPublicRadio.org. And we say 24-hour, that means any hour of day or night you can tune in. It's playing sacred music for you according to the church's year. And coming up Thanksgiving Day at 1 in the afternoon and at 8 in the evening Central Time, you can hear at LutheranPublicRadio.org, Bach's Cantata, Nun Docet Allegat, that's Now All Thank God, uninterrupted, courtesy of Church Music Solutions, the producers of the Virtual Organist. It's a program that will play all of the hymns and the liturgy using your organ when you don't have an organist on the bench. Find out more about the Virtual Organist at ChurchMusicSolutions.com, ChurchMusicSolutions.com. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson talking about David and Jonathan. Tom, take us through, you do this so well for us every week. You've mentioned a few of them. Where we find Jesus in the story of David and Jonathan? How would you just kind of punctuate the story that way?
Well, the main chapter has 42 verses. Jesus is mentioned 12 times. In verse 3, 8, 12, twice in 13, 14, 15, 16, 21, 22, 23, and 42. Sometimes they're speaking to him directly, like, the Lord shall be between me and you. And the word for Lord there isn't Adonai, meaning, you know, just a master. It's the word Yahweh, which is, you know, sometimes said Jehovah, but be that as it may, Yahweh. And it's speaking of God, that's the same thing that he says in verse 23. Both of them have just, and this we need to get across to the children, both of them have such a strong understanding that God is in charge. The Lord is in charge. And we know from the previous stories that the Lord is the angel of the Lord, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. So you can't read chapter 42 without Jesus popping up all over the place, which means there's got to be a different lesson here than telling the kids you ought to be friends with one another.
What would that lesson be? How would you put it for the kids that's more than just as we usually get from the Sunday school stuff? You know, this is how you really are a good friend.
Well, my goal is always to show where Jesus is and then apply it to the church. And what I would be really probably speaking often about is how the world regards love in contrast how God regards love. Remember, the goal of every sermon and Sunday school lesson is to get the people to think like God. I'll just give you a couple of things that were on my mind as I prepared here. The television program 60 Minutes reported experiments with children as how they became less selfish as they grew older from an evolutionary point of view. They had done a little test, and kids like 2-3 years old, they're real selfish. They wanted everything on the table. But as they got older, they didn't want everything. They wanted others to have some. Well, what 60 Minutes did not understand, and evolution doesn't, is the depth of sin. That what appears to be selfless acts by older children were in reality attempts to win the favor of adults by appearing to be good. They learned about how to give an apple to the teacher. and the 60-minute piece had no understanding of ulterior motivation. Instead, the world judges a work by its action rather than its intent and motivation. And that's why the people were rejoicing when Saul gave to David all these challenges to beat up the Philistines, whereas Saul's motivation was to get David killed. So our culture views love as an emotion. I mean, we really see that in marriage. We'll stay in love with someone as long as we continue to have good feelings and a happy lifestyle. Today's love is really about what's in it for me. And it just so happens, last night I was watching Mission Impossible 3 for the first time. And the hero, who, by the way, is a secret agent, decides to get married, even though his best friend tells him, you can't be a secret agent and have a family. And sure enough, he gets married. His wife is kidnapped by the evil person and almost dies because his love for her is not strong enough to keep away from her. He wants to have that good feeling by being around her and therefore really doesn't truly love her as the Bible speaks about love. In the scriptures, well, there's three words for love: agape, phileo, and eros. Now, by the way, eros never appears in the Bible, but agape does, which is John 3:16, for God so loved the world. This is a sacrificial love. The kind of love the world has, there's a home invasion by two thieves. They hold a husband and wife in captivity because the thieves want the husband to open the safe, but he refuses to do so. Okay, says the thief, we're going to hurt your wife if you don't open the safe. He still refuses to do so. Now, they don't hurt the wife, but then he takes a knife out and he says, I'm going to cut apart all these expensive paintings on the wall. Immediately, the husband opens the safe. He has more love for his paintings than he does for his wife. We don't have such a Savior. We have a Savior who loves us. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. Or 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, which Jonathan was doing because, filled with the Holy Spirit, he understood the will of God and therefore complied with it, whereas Saul had such self-interest, even though the people thought he was doing loving actions by giving David his daughter, by having him fight the Philistines, his ulterior motives were such that they were totally sinful. And so I try and get across to the children, be careful that you don't judge someone as doing a good work by just what they're doing. Look how many times you have an ulterior motive when you do something. But you have a Savior who had no ulterior motive except your benefit when he died upon the cross. Therefore, he now gives you the ability to love, because he first loved you. And that's the law and gospel thing. Our love will never be perfect here on earth, because our old Adam always has ulterior motives. But the new man in us can continue to grow in our life of sanctification, and therefore show a love that is motivated by our love for Jesus, rather than for our love for self. And that is how I would connect law and gospel, Jonathan and Jesus, and showing how Jesus is everywhere in the Old Testament, as he said on the road to Emmaus.
Pastor Tom Baker is Director of Development for the Concordia Mission Society, and he's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you again.
Thank you.
Folks, if you enjoy our weekly Sunday school lessons with Pastor Baker, Please consider supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a year-end tax-deductible gift. Now, for any size year-end donation, we're going to send you the 2-CD set of Lutheran Service Book Hymns and Services, and in addition, for any size gift, we will send you a CD that has two of my sermons, one for Christmas and the other for the Confession of St. Peter. Now, you can make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. We keep very careful tabs on year-end money here at Issues Etc. We endeavor to be good stewards of our listeners' generous gifts. So we counted it all up. With 6 weeks left before the end of the year and the end of our budget, we need about $70,000 to make our budget this year. Last year, the year before, and the year before, our listeners did this every time. When presented with the need that we have, our year-end budget to meet our budget, they met it. And they exceeded it, and I'm confident that our listeners, out of this kind of generosity, will do exactly the same thing this year. We're currently $70,000 short of making budget this year, so in the next 6 weeks, we thank you for listening, and we thank you for keeping us in mind at the end of 2012. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on man's failed attempts to reach God. Pastor Jonathan Fisk will be our guest. We're going to talk about two of those failed attempts, rationalism, and its very close cousin, in fact, a offspring, pragmatism. Also tomorrow, we'll discuss Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. Pastor Peter Bender will be our guest. Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, we'll have Pastor David J. Weber talk about the Mayflower Pilgrims, and we'll study the hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, with Pastor Will Whedon. And Pastor Whedon will be back with us on Friday, continuing our series on the historic liturgy. We'll discuss the offertory and the offering. That's the rest of the week here on Issues Etc. It is quite true. I mean, the word friend in our parlance today has just been tamped down to a little button that you click on Facebook. But my goodness, Jesus says he's called the friend of sinners. And that means he's the savior of sinners. He's the one who loves sinners in spite of their sin. He's the one who loves them by taking their sin. What does he say? Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And guess who's Jesus' friends are? You and me, sinners that we are. And he's laid down his life for us. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muscoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muscoda, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
Why are moralism, mysticism, and speculation enemies of the Christian faith? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. It's written by regular guest Pastor Jonathan Fisk. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can pre-order Broken by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible.